Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned on Sunday, we've had four straight Sundays in a row in which we have discussed the end times, Christ's second coming. Tonight is no different. We are looking forward to the last days. How is the Christian to prepare for those days? What will it be like for the Christian in that day? What will it be like for the one who has no faith? St. Peter writes in his second epistle that leading up to it, there will be scoffers who come in the last days. Jesus warned that many would come in his name as false Christs to lead even the elect, if it were possible, away. These last days see plenty of scoffers walking around. They scoff at our religion. They scoff at what we believe. And they do that because they seek out their own sinful desires. Why are you gathered on a Wednesday evening in a church when you could be tucked away at home, reading whatever new gossip magazine there is, with whatever alcoholic beverage you wanted? Why do that? Surely if Jesus was real, he would have returned by now. Why would he let so many bad things happen in this world if he were real? Yes, we are in the last days, and yes, there are plenty of scoffers to go around. There is a promise of his coming because he told us so. The word of God created all of creation. The heavens and the earth were created by God, speaking them into creation. And at his proper time, when the world had grown so corrupt and so cold that only 8 people confessed the Messiah who was to come, God sent waters to fill the whole world. This isn't a theory, this is a fact, as we have it in God's holy word. God used water to cover the whole world, to bury all the sinful people who had no faith, to bury all of his creation that he had made, and to start new. After those waters receded, God put a bow in the sky, that every time we would see the rainbow, we would be reminded of God's promise, of God's covenant with his people, that he would not send water to destroy the whole earth again. Now that rainbow is turned into scoffing, but yet it is a reminder for us. It is a reminder that there is something good after the storm, that God is still in control. So no, God promised he would not send a flood over the whole earth at one time. Rather, he said that the day of the destruction of this world will be by fire. The opposite of water, fire. By his word, all things were created, and at his word, everything will be destroyed. The day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men is seen in fire. Fire, a consuming element, is what we see throughout the scriptures as God's judgment on people and on things. Fire is what God uses to burn up the ungodly. That is his judgment on this earth before he creates a new heaven and a new earth, where all Christians who confessed him will be united in that new heaven and new earth for eternity. Your bodies that were laid down will come out of the grave and made glorified, reunited with your soul for eternity. Fire is destruction, a fervent heat. The thief in the night will be that day, declares the Lord, and the new heavens and the new earth in which the righteous dwell. St. Peter tells us that many would scoff at God's word, that many would disagree with both what he said, what St. Paul said, and what all of the Old Testament scriptures said. He also said that the untaught and unstable people twist God's word to their own destruction. How many times have you heard modern-day Christians twist God's word to lead people astray? We have whole church bodies created out of that. We have a Unitarian Universalist church, a church of a combination of the Unitarians who never confessed the Trinity, and the Universalists who confess that everybody gets in, no matter what it might be, no matter what you may believe. A church that twists God's word to its own desires. And as the days grow longer, as the night is longer, those churches become more and more. Mainline Christianity in these states has long been following away from God's word and into their own sinful desires. That's just how things will be until that day of Christ's return. But for us, we stay with God's word, because in God's word is our salvation. By his grace, by knowledge of our Lord and their Savior, Jesus Christ, will we be saved. So it doesn't really matter what the world desires you to believe. What matters is that you confess the God who took on human flesh and was nailed to a cross to suffer and die in your stead to take away your sins. That's the truth. He is our Savior. He is the Savior of the world. And until we recognize our sins, until we repent of our sins and confess our sins and nail them to that cross with him and fall down at the foot of the cross and hear his words of holy absolution, then we are just as lost as the world is. Jesus said that all nations will be gathered on that day. All the dead will rise. All the living will gather as well. And he will separate them, like a shepherd separates the sheep and the goats. You see, he knows each and every name of his faithful people. He knows who is a believer and who isn't. It has already been predetermined. He already knows who it is. From the foundation of the world, he said, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." God knows you. He knows your name. He numbers every hair on your head, or lack thereof. God knows you, and he loves you completely, utterly. On that day, we pray to have faith. On that day, we pray to be with the sheep and not the goats. And that's the beauty of Christianity. The beauty is we don't do it. We don't earn it. It's all a free gift of God. On that day, he will turn away all of those who did not confess. And he says, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." An eternal torment. The devil, his demons, and all those who failed to confess, who rejected Jesus Christ. And while they face that eternal punishment of hellfire, we look forward to the righteousness of eternal life. And so we live our lives, dear Christians. We help the poor. We help the needy. We help the homeless. We help those who have no other help. That's what we do as the church. We are an extension of the bride of Christ. Christ working through us. So let us rejoice tonight and every day. Let us prepare our hearts, our minds, and our souls and our bodies for that day, that it may not come upon us unaware, but that we are prepared, that we may be with the Good Shepherd for all of eternity. The church sings, "He comes to judge the nations, a terror to his foes, a light of consolations and blessed hope to those who love the Lord's appearing. O glorious sun, now come, send forth your beams so cheering and guide us safely home." Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.